Today on Maine Calling, what's the recipe for a successful food business? You can find them at the grocery store and specialty stores. Well-known and well-loved Maine food products. Stonewall Kitchen jams and jellies, Ray's mustards, Grandi Oats granola, Wyman's blueberries, and so many more. For every iconic Maine food product, there are dozens of entrepreneurs hoping to launch the next one. What does it take? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we get the lowdown on creating a successful Maine food business. Maine is well known for the fresh ingredients that come from land and sea. How to combine that reputation with your good idea and turn it into a company. There are many helpful places to turn. We'll learn what they offer to food entrepreneurs. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. Welch and Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth. From investments to trustee services, more at welchforbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Good food is part of Maine's brand, and a growing variety of entrepreneurs are making products that showcase what Maine has to offer. What does it take to start and maintain a successful food business? Well, we have some experts today with me, Andrea Chinquette Maker, who is president, co-chair, and co-founder of Focus Maine, Nancy McBrady, who is deputy commissioner of the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry, and Naomi Neville, manager of the Food Accelerator Program at the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs. We invite you to join the conversation. Have you ever considered starting a food business? Do you have questions about where to turn at any step of the process? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Thank you all for joining us right before lunchtime. Andrea, I recently learned that there are something like 1,700 food companies in Maine. That's a lot. Is this a growing sector of our economy? And if so, give us a sense of what you're seeing out there.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks for having me today. And welcome to Nancy and Naomi on the panel here as well. The food sector in Maine is growing. And what we know of those 1,731 companies last year is among them, they experienced a 3% growth in jobs. The growth in jobs in Maine was at a 1% in overall sectors across Maine. And I guess the final stat I'll put out there is the companies that participate in programs that are convened and sponsored by Focus Maine grew at a 6% rate. So we are seeing growth in Maine's food companies with the work of these entrepreneurs who are, you know, every day working in programs to improve their product, you know, innovating new products or their packaging or how they're shipping it or their new finding new markets. A lot of growth is going on in Maine food companies. And it's an opportunity for Maine that's here and now, and I'm just so excited to be at the epicenter of it.
Nancy, we know that Maine and Maine restaurants have a national reputation. We're known as a foodie state. We're known for our excellence. Is it the same for food products? And if so, are there certain types of food products that set Maine apart?
Well, thank you for having me as well. And it's a wonderful topic to delve into, particularly before lunch. I think that, you know, Maine is unique in many ways. We have over 7,000 farms diversified across all of Maine, and we produce a lot of different things. So when you think about Maine fruit products, of course, we come to mind wild blueberries, potatoes, the seafood, et cetera. And we have entrepreneurs here in the state who are leaning into some of these products. Maine grains come to mind. We have folks utilizing buckwheat. We have unbelievable brewers. And so I think there's a lot of sourcing and utilization of Maine products that then bubble up into the products themselves that we have seen for a long time, and also those that are coming to the surface through the help of our partners here at Maine Center for Entrepreneurs or Focus Maine. So it's a very dynamic environment in which to be producing the food and then also processing the food products thereon.
Nancy, I know that a lot of foods, and we'll get into this probably more in details, are marketed regionally and some nationally. I'm thinking about a time I was recently driving through Alabama. I was going through Biloxi, Alabama, and a Stonewall kitchen truck was next to me. And I just had to smile. And I'm wondering, it was especially ironic, this is an aside, because I had brought some Stonewall Kitchen jellies to the people I was visiting. So I thought, well, maybe I could have come up with something more original. But Nancy, are there other companies like that with a national reputation? Am I going to see their truck go by in someplace like Alabama or Texas or California?
Two things come to mind. I think of broccoli. So we have as a product in its of itself, a lot of Maine broccoli, Stag family brand, et cetera, are going to be found in New England and beyond. So you'll see that. And then also I think of wild blueberries. Wyman's, for instance, is a national brand. You're going to see it at retail. You will see it at Publix. You will see it at Walmart. And they have done a really wonderful job of expanding into that territory across the United States. So wild blueberries make that impact all over the place, and we're really proud to see that.
Okay, and I want to correct myself. I think I said Biloxi, Alabama, Biloxi, Mississippi. Anyway, not important, but I want to start with you, Naomi, and ask all three of you, walk us through what it takes. So many people have a great family recipe or a great product that they think, I just know everybody will love this. Maybe it's something that does really well at county fairs or something that your relatives ask for every single year at a gathering. Talk us through just starting. How do I think, could this be a product that people want to buy? How could I turn this into a business? What are the first questions one might ask themselves? And if the answer is yes, maybe, where do they turn?
Great question, and thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me on. It's a real privilege to be here. The first scaling up what you're making for your family and friends is incredibly difficult. So I would say the first question you should ask is, do you have the passion and the time to devote to this? It is a very different thing to be making a tofu at home and then making it in large scale batches and also dealing with all the permits and the licensing that that's going to take. If you do have that passion and you're like, this is it, there are amazing places around like Fork Food Labs that are incubators. They have a ton of resources, and I know they're incredibly busy. We could certainly use more of them in the state of Maine. But they are one of those first stop places where you could go and talk to someone and just sound out an idea and talk with them. So that would be my recommendation. Bill and Corrine over at Fork Food Labs have been awesome to work with and have helped launch many small businesses in the state of Maine as well.
Okay, there's Fork Food Labs. Isn't there also a center at the University of Maine that will sort of help you find out how many calories are in that food and how to maybe find the right container for it and things like that, Naomi?
Yep, absolutely. Rob Dumas over at UMaine does an awesome job with his team. Not only the amount of calories, but shelf life, processing ideas, recipes. There's a lot of resources at UMaine for that. They do a fantastic job.
Well, Andrea, you were talking about the success of the companies that have gone through Focus Maine's program. What is it about the program? What are you doing for these entrepreneurs that helps them succeed?
We have sponsored Naomi to provide accelerator programs. It's So what we did at Focus Maine is research where are the gaps, what do companies need to scale? And these are companies that are already established beyond the startup phase, but in the market, already have a product, they're out there, but they want to grow, they want to scale. So we work with the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs and CEI and Maine Aquaculture Association to give them resources that they can provide specific programming. And what a company will get, an entrepreneur will get in any of those programs is a lot of mentoring by professionals who are in this sector. So Maine Center for Entrepreneurs has a broad network of potential mentors who could who have the expertise needed by each company. We buy marketing data for companies that are looking to expand their markets and give counseling, coaching and counseling around that to help them find new markets. We are funding a food tech program to help entrepreneurs learn how to create a new product or a new type of packaging for food product to improve their marketability. So we have a range of programs for companies that are in the business already that kind of offer them the services they need at the point they're at in their company. We have a grant program that provides grants to help a company get new equipment so they can get to their next stage of development. There's kind of a range of them. You can see them on the website. We have a number of different partner organizations that I mentioned a minute ago who help deliver those. We also, through these partners, work to get companies into trade shows outside the state of Maine, which also opens up new markets to them. That's been fun. There's one seafood show that happens in Boston every other year, I think it is. And traditionally, Maine lobster was always at that seafood show. Now we have oysters and mussels from Maine also down there, trying to show their wares. And it's become a big opportunity for Maine seafood companies to find new markets by going down to those trade shows.
And Nancy, it sounds to me as though everyone here works together. What would you like to add to that? What can the state of Maine, the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry do for food entrepreneurs?
There's a lot that we can do, spanning everything from technical assistance, particularly at the farm level. And we're talking about consultations for soil health, as just one example, so that you can have a very productive farm business. We also offer different types of financial support through loan and grant offerings. We also have marketing and promotion efforts. We have realmaine.com, which is our marketing and branding online program, really helping to connect consumers with Maine producers. And I encourage people to check that out. We have blog offerings talking about things that happen year-round, where to access farm products and food products year-round, and maps and online information about events throughout the year. I think it's also very critical, and Naomi mentioned this a moment ago, we also help maintain food quality and safety standards through our licensing and quality assurance division. And we're working with food establishments that range from home processors to commercial food processors, commercial bakeries. So really helping provide the fundamental understanding of producing a safe, well-packaged, temperature-controlled product that is going to meet the standards really that consumers demand for high quality products in the state. So inspection
Sure.
questions, licensing questions, we help with that too.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, Nancy, because obviously food safety is really, really important. And I'm wondering if not just enforcing the regulations, but are you also helping entrepreneurs understand them and meet them?
Absolutely. We want to come from a place of education first and foremost, help walk through the necessary, regulations that need to be met. But we want to demystify. We want people to be successful. We don't want to stand in the way of an entrepreneur succeeding and meeting their own goals and being successful. So we are always open to initial questions. We certainly have people that will do site visits even before a license is requested to help go over the nuts and bolts and hopefully have an easy glide path from there on out.
On the line with us now is Bradley Russell, Director of the Sustainable Agriculture and Food Systems Program with Coastal Enterprises, or CEI. Thanks for calling in, Bradley.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Appreciate it.
As you probably heard, Andrea just a minute ago mentioned equipment. I understand that specialized equipment is often a really big hurdle for food entrepreneurs.
Yeah, absolutely. Starting and growing any business is expensive, but food businesses can be particularly expensive. And equipment, specialized equipment that often comes from Europe, overseas, is very expensive. Finding, you know, we talked about food safety, and so spaces that are food safe to grow your business is also a big expense. And so all of these pieces add up to one of the biggest challenges that I believe food businesses face, and that's really figuring out how to come up with the funds they need to grow and then also scale these businesses. And that's so you mentioned that I work with Coastal Enterprises, and Coastal Enterprises is a nonprofit financial institution. And we work with organizations like Focus Maine to find creative ways to fund these businesses and fill the gaps that traditional financing can't.
Do you have a story of a company that you were able to help that, whether it's through getting equipment or getting a place to do their manufacturing, that is now successful?
Sure. Well, I would love to talk about, there's so many, but I believe Harvest Maine was one of the folks who might be calling in today. And they are currently a Tastemakers recipient. So CEI runs a grant program called the Tastemakers Initiative, and we do that in partnership with Focus Maine. And that program helps food businesses to fund improving operations. And so one of those pieces can be incorporating new equipment. So Harvest Maine is creating a new food product. And in order to do that, they have to build out a new equipment line. And so we are helping them sort of build out that line and also do some experiments, working with some folks who can help them with parts of that process. And they're creating a really exciting product that is taking food from producers in Maine that might not go, might not make it to the traditional grocery store due to maybe an over supply or for other reasons. And so they're taking that product and they're processing it and then selling it through grocery stores and other retail outlets.
Great. And you're right, we will hear from them later in the program, or we're planning to hear from them. Why don't I ask you before I let you go, though, Bradley, about challenges. In every sector, it seems, there's the problem of not enough employees. Is that a real problem for the companies you work with?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think food businesses are really struggling with labor. And that's something that, you know, I think many folks have heard about recent restaurant closures, and people are talking about challenges finding folks to fill those positions. And it's not an easy solution. And I think everyone on this call is finding ways to try to assist businesses in that area. CEI has a workforce team. And we help to advise businesses on creating good jobs that are attractive to bring people into the business to work, and then keep them there, retain them through creating affordable benefits, things that companies can provide that might not cost them a lot of money, but are real benefits to the folks who are working there, like advanced scheduling, for example. If folks know what their scheduling is in advance, they can plan their life around it. And that's something that doesn't cost the business a lot of money, but it's a real help, and it can help to sort of retain employees. So yeah, but it is a really, it's a big problem, and a lot of businesses, agriculture, manufacturing, retail are all struggling with it.
Bradley, thank you so much for calling in. Bradley Russell with CEI's Sustainable Agriculture and Food Systems Program. We're going to take a quick break. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're discussing the growth of Maine's food sector and ways for would-be entrepreneurs to succeed. With me, Nancy McBrady, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. Naomi Neville manages the Food Accelerator Program at Maine Center for Entrepreneurs. And Andrea Chinquette-Maker is President and Co-Chair of Focus Maine. Share your comments and questions. Send an email, a brief email, please, to talk@mainepublic.org. Comment on Facebook or Instagram, or call 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now, Sarah Speer, who is co-founder of Tootie's Tempeh. Thanks for calling in, Sarah. Did I pronounce the name of your company correctly?
You did. Hi, Jennifer.
So how did you get the idea for your product and your business?
Well, we wanted to make an essential food, and we felt like tempeh isn't well known enough. It's kind of a superfood, like, and it's a sleeping giant. So we thought we would make tempeh, and then when we found out how it's typically made, which is fermented in plastic bags, we knew we had an opportunity to make it better and more sustainable. And so that's when we started, like, back in 2019, to figure out how to ferment without the plastic bags. And we succeeded. It took 3 years with grants from MTI, and we were in Fork Food Lab playing around with different fermentation methods. And we launched in November 22.
And how's it going?
It's going really well. We're in Hannaford and a lot of natural food and co-op stores, and have about 6 distributors now, and really expanding deeper into New England and even parts of New York.
Well, as you know, we have Focus Maine, the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs, the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry on the line. We just heard from CEI, and I'm wondering, what kind of programs did you take advantage of here in Maine to get your business off the ground?
We are so grateful for the programs in Maine and the funding as well from MTI and CEI. The programs we've done are Top Gun, and that's through the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs, which is we did when we were younger and starting out, and really helped us basically prioritize and put a framework for our growth together. We had great mentors. Then we were in the Food Tech program, which really is for food companies that are doing something in the industry using technology in a new way. And so our new fermentation method was that was why we were in that program, which also had some great mentors and always a great cohort of other food producers that are invaluable, because, you know, we're all doing this basically alone. And it's so great to be able to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, how did you get this, you know, sourced, or who do you use for that, or whatever. And now we're in the food cultivator program, which is what Naomi was mentioning earlier, is for companies that are have launched and are now really ready to scale. And so we just started that program about 3 weeks ago and have some incredible mentors to help us reach our goals for growth.
Naomi, is there anything you'd like to say about Sarah and Tootie's Tempeh?
Hey, Sarah. It's just been a pleasure working with her and her team so far. She's got such a committed team, and they're doing something a little different from Maine, right? Tempeh, not everybody has had tempeh. I encourage you to try it if you haven't. Like Sarah said, they're in Hannaford, stores like Monty's, Rosemont, you'll be able to find them. It's just so great working with an entrepreneur with so much passion, and not only for the product they're making, but the way they're making it and how they're sourcing things. So I think, you know, the energy that her and her team have, it's just been great working with them. So look forward to seeing where it all goes.
Yeah, Sarah, like, what's your goal?
Cousin. Sorry.
I just want to ask, what's your goal? If I could say Tootie's Tempeh is where in 10 years, what's your dream? What would you like to be able to answer?
Well, we have a very different dream. We want to become a national brand, but very differently. We're very dedicated to sourcing our beans locally. So we envision opening, like we're really working hard on getting the main location very established and figuring out all the processes and equipment needed in order to scale. And then we envision having production, co-op production facilities around the country, each one sourcing their beans from their local farmers, so that wherever Tooties is purchased, the consumer's always supporting their local farmers, workers, and communities. So it's a different model, but we hope that in 10 years we have at least 10 of those regional locations. And they could source more than just soybeans. They could source black beans and chickpeas and lentils, depending on what grows in that region, because tempeh can be made of any legume.
Well, Sarah, congratulations. I wish you the best of luck. And before I let you go, I have to turn you into the mentor. Any advice for anybody listening who's interested in starting a food business, who has an idea?
I think Naomi's right. You do have to have the passion, and you really need to just talk to other entrepreneurs before you jump in and know a little bit about what you're getting into, and absolutely take advantage of the incredible programs in Maine that Focus Maine puts on through the MCE, and know that there's a lot of support to help you along the way.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for calling in. Sarah Spear co-founded Tooties Tempeh. And Naomi, you say that the tempeh business fits into some trends that you're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of people that are switching to more plant-based diets, so it fits really nicely within that. High protein as well, you know, one of the kind of superfoods. It's hitting on a lot of those kind of key trends right now. And we honestly, we have a lot of plant-based companies going through cultivator and market share programs right now. So it's been really interesting to see kind of a switch from more traditional ingredients to a lot of ingredients involving like seaweed or things like that. So it's really fantastic to see the diversity of what Maine has to offer.
All right. Well, on the line now is Liam Fisher. He's the founder of Maine Garum. Thanks so much for calling in, Liam. And I want to make sure, did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, you totally did. Garum is a word from a dead language, so I don't like to be too fussy about pronunciation of it.
Okay. So what is it?
Garum is the Roman word for a fermented fish sauce that was popular throughout the Mediterranean region during the time of the Roman Empire and before it. And it's a fermented fish sauce that's made with traditionally whole fish that are salted and left to ferment for a long period of time. And during that process, the enzymes in the fish's gut break down the protein and make delicious savory molecules that make a really great salty seasoning for any type of food. And it was a common seasoning for people all throughout the Roman Empire and Northern Africa and various places. It's very similar to some of the stuff that you see coming out of Southeast Asia and in Vietnamese food.
So very briefly, tell us where you are in the growth and the story of your company. When were you founded? How large are you? Where are you headed?
Sure. So Maine Garum Company is myself, and then part-time I have my girlfriend, Isabel Hamill, help me out with events and labeling bottles and bottling and things like that. I just launched the company in July of this year, and I'm just in a handful of retailers and a couple of restaurants. But it's been something that I've been working on for about 4 years now, really ever since a roommate of mine brought home some whole smelts from smelting, and I made my first batch of fish sauce and saw it as a really good opportunity to utilize waste streams from processing operations to make a really delicious product that no one else in the country makes.
Wow. So it's second caller in a row who is trying to do something a little bit different. Congratulations to you for that. I'll ask you, Liam,
thank you.
What I asked Sarah, what is your advice for someone else with an idea?
I would say take lots of small steps. It definitely feels overwhelming because there's just so much to figure out. But take really small steps, be really patient, and don't fall into a need to feel like you need to have everything set up together. For example, my first round of bottling, the label on it had a spelling mistake. But it took a long time for anybody to find it, and it was still it was a way to me to get the product out there and have people experience it and get some positive feedback. So I'd say just get out there and get started.
Liam, you need to know that I'm getting comments here from our producer, Jane. She says that she had Brussels sprouts with eel garum at Leeward recently, and it was delicious. And Andrea, you have another way, that not Brussels sprouts.
No, so Liam, I saw you at your food tech culmination program, and you gave me some garum on, I think it was whipped cream, and it tasted like caramel ice cream.
Yep. Yeah, that's my favorite little trick to do. And if anybody ever can find me at a table somewhere, I have whipped cream and a little bit of ice and fish sauce. And it always gets a couple of weird, disgusted faces. But I have pretty much converted anybody that's suspicious to appreciate the really versatility of fish sauce and what it can do for food and even sweets and cocktails and various things. It's so glad you enjoyed it.
Liam, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck. Liam Fisher, the founder of Maine Garum, which is a fish sauce that apparently can taste like caramel ice cream on whipped cream. Naomi, his story of getting people to taste it reminds me of, her name is, I'm losing her name right now, but one of the first people in Maine to make goat cheese. So it's telling a story about going to farmers markets and tricking people into eating it because people, of course, back in the day didn't eat goat cheese. And it makes me think, when people are skeptical, how do you get them to taste it?
So I've always been, one of those people that's like, if you're going to give me some free food, I'm going to taste it. But I understand that sometimes people are a little skeptical. But I think doing, what we just talked about is like presenting it in a way, making it consumer friendly, and really getting people to taste your product. That is your best startup selling tool there is out there. Like getting out there. It's also a focus group. You're out there, you're tasting your product, you're getting that feedback directly. You can incorporate that feedback into your next batches. But I really think getting people to taste, that's the selling. That's your selling and marketing right off the bat.
Okay. Well, we're going now to Matthew Chappell, who is co-founder of Harvest Maine. Matt, thanks for calling in. And you probably heard Harvest Maine mentioned earlier in the program. Explain to me what you do. Do you glean vegetables that are not being used?
Yes. So thank you, Jennifer, for inviting us onto the show. Love the show and happy to be here. So we consider ourselves an upcycled healthy snack company. So what we're doing is taking fruits and vegetables that might otherwise go unused. We're not necessarily gleaning them the way you might think. We're working with Maine farms to make sure that those undersized beets or the funky carrots or the misshapen peppers that might otherwise get left in the field don't get left in the field. They get harvested and they get paid for them. And we take them and turn them into value-added tasty treats. So we started 2 years ago with a veggie spread, or some might call it a hummus. And we're taking all those vegetables, combining them with white bean, which is grown in Freiburg, into a sort of a vegetable hummus spread. That's one example. And then just last month, we've launched a fruit bite line where we're taking what's called apple pumice. It's what's left over when you press for apple cider. And we're taking that and extracting what's left of it, combining it with Maine blueberry or strawberry into a chewable fruit bite. And by doing so, we're taking a byproduct that otherwise might get composted or fed to deer, and we're turning it into a valuable item. That's really what we're all about.
How old is your company and how are you doing?
We're doing very well, literally 2 years into it. And we sell our product in natural food stores, neighborhood markets like Rosemont, select Hannaford stores throughout really New England, mostly Maine, but we have lots of product in Vermont, Massachusetts, New Hampshire. So we're becoming a New England brand, but obviously Maine is our base, and Maine is where we source our ingredients from Maine farms.
All right, last question. What advice do you have
for people
for somebody who might have an idea, yeah, for a food business?
I would say probably the biggest thing is start with something that's unique and innovative, and build from there. And I've found and been unbelievably amazed at how many resources there are in Maine, and you have a lot of those people on your panel today, how much there is available to us and how much they want us to succeed. So tap into that. Talk to other people who operate businesses, get ideas, network in that way to tap into those resources, because they're there. And they're, it's just unbelievable, whether it's the work we're doing with MCE or the Tastemakers grant from CEI, or even the recipe development up at UMaine with Rob Dumas and his crew. There's just a really broad set of resources out there. Tap into it is what I would say.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck to you. Matt Chapel, co-founded Harvest Maine. We do need to take another quick break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. If you're quick, you can send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today, we're talking about the burgeoning food sector in Maine. My guests, Naomi Neville with the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs, Andrea Chinquette-Maker with Focus Maine, and Nancy McBrady with Maine's Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, or post to Facebook or to Instagram. Before we move on to more audience questions, I wanted to ask you all, though, it seems to me, Andrea, that there's a bit of a theme with the three businesses that just called in. All of them are doing things a little differently. It's not just that they have a new product, but a new business model. And it's so interesting to me. Are you seeing this again and again? Is this the rule instead of the exception with these food businesses here in Maine?
I think there's a great combination of food businesses, but I do think most food businesses are in one way or another innovating. They're either innovating the product that they're selling, coming up with a new product, or they're innovating the packaging that they're putting it in, how they're getting their processes done, because that's how companies are going to stay ahead and thrive. So I think we still have our traditional food products that are out there that are growing and selling the blueberries and the potatoes. If you want to consider aquaculture products as traditional, the oysters and the mussels, that's growing. There's some innovation going on there, but aquaculture is just growing by itself. You know, more and more farms are getting put up, and those products, I wouldn't, as a whole, maybe aquaculture is a bit innovative, but as a whole, it's pretty much the product that's coming out of the ocean. Each farmer, however, is trying to figure out a way to make their product a little better. So Bangs Island Mussels, Matt Moretti at Bangs Island has mussel farms. And in some of them, he's growing kelp in between the lines of mussels, because that creates a better environment for growing the mussels, and they taste differently. So I think innovation is a theme for almost anyone in the food business one way or another. Some of the products just seem more traditional than the ones you're hearing about today.
Well, and Nancy, the last two we heard about, Maine Garum and Harvest Maine, are also, it sounds like, trying to tackle another major problem in our society, which is food waste. And I'm wondering if this is part of maybe a larger ethic or philosophy you're hearing in the food industry in Maine.
I think, as has been stated, our food entrepreneurs are thinking creatively. We do have the need for gleaning and utilizing all different types of and varieties of food products that we grow and produce here in Maine. And so I do think that there is room for utilization of these types of things. If I could, I'd also just mention there's room for more support of these producers themselves. A recent study was published by the New England Food System Planners Partnership, where they found that only 3.4% of the state's total expenditures for food, beverages, and alcohol goes to Maine-produced products. So I think that there's just an enormous ability for Maine consumers to be looking for and demanding locally produced products from vendors, retailers, et cetera. So fostering this an entrepreneurial world that we're talking about is really important, particularly with infrastructure investments and more.
Good point. All of us, even if we don't want to launch a food business, can ask our local grocer what products are from Maine. We're going to turn to, and ask for more of them. We're going to turn to John, who's calling in from Jefferson. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay. Thank you. I am the owner of a one-person part-time business that I call Tropical Maine. And what I've done is combine the great Maine maple syrup with passion fruit concentrate, and I sell it at craft shows. And I entice people to buy it by, or at least to try it. That's the first thing, the main thing, by saying, if you have at least an ounce of curiosity, you're qualified to try my tropical Maine syrup here. And I hand them a spoonful.
Oh, that's a good slogan. And John, are you looking to grow your business? Or are you happy with the way it is?
Well, that's the next thing I was going to do. I've been doing it for 16 years, and I'm over 80 now. And I'm kind of looking to transition to somebody who can take it further. And preferably as a Maine co-op would be ideal, but to take it regionally and possibly nationally.
Ooh, good question.
Yeah.
I'll ask, does anybody on my panel have ideas for John? How can he find somebody who might partner with and take over his business? Here we go. Andrea, go.
Yeah, you know, so I don't have a direct answer. It sounds delicious. I do have 2 ounces of curiosity, John, so I'd like to try it. Mm. I think perhaps going to SCORE and asking for a mentor about transitioning your business might be a good way to start.
Okay, SCORE, another wonderful organization doing a lot of good work in Maine. Good luck to you, John. We'll go to Hiram and Aaron. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. This is Aaron. I'm the owner of Grandy Organics, and I just wanted to reiterate a lot of what Matt said, Matt Chappell. You know, there's so many resources, and we're so lucky as business owners here in the state. I've owned my business now 24 years, and Grandy Organics has been around since 1979. And there's no way that we would be in the position where we're at right now, employing 40 people in our company, and most of those in rural Maine and Hiram, without the help of some of the awesome panelists and this great state and fantastic governors and senators and congresspeople. And that's not any pandering. That's just fact. We wouldn't have got through COVID without some of the assistance from the state and from the federal government and then just some great mentors, whether it's other business owners, and I try to do that for other folks, as I've certainly made a lot of mistakes and have done a few things right, too. And so I love all the call-ins, and it's just awesome to hear the energy of some of these newer businesses and them just really going for it. And I guess I'll punctuate with saying, just keep going for it. And you never know, you can build something really, really great. And there is a lot of help in the state. You just wouldn't get that in many other states. And I'm certainly thankful for it. So that's
oh my goodness, Aaron, I'm so glad you called in, and I'm still being amazed over here by the fact that you started in 1979. So celebrating 45 years in business, I no idea. That's wonderful.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, and we're sold nationwide, and a lot of fantastic co-ops and Whole Foods and. We've got Hannaford as our first large grocery store that's growing at over 30% this year. They've just been a fantastic partner, and we sell at other local markets, of course. And we've actually did our first Costco run this past year in the Northeast, and we're actually looking to work with the California and Hawaii and San Diego. So it's L.A., San Diego, Hawaii, et cetera, for next year. So really just continuing to grow and continuing to do great things. And again, could not do it without all the awesome people who are our original customers here in Maine. So
I have one more question before I let you go.
Sure.
I know you weren't expecting all these, but I wanted to ask, when you talk to out-of-state potential customers, these big grocery store chains, Costco, places like that, does the fact that you're in Maine matter to them?
It does in some places. In some places, you know, it's like not a one-size-fits-all sort of answer. I do think it matters more in a place like California, down to the mid-Atlantic. You know, we've tried to study this. I know some folks in Maine and the marketing, you know, the state and marketing have looked at this too. There is an affinity. Let me put it this way. There's a positive aura of Maine. I think it's why a lot of us here live here and we love it so much. So it's certainly not a negative thing to put on your packaging or to really lean into your marketing on. But, you know, it does carry more weight in certain places, if that makes sense.
Well, so great to hear from you, Aaron, from Hiram, the owner of Grandy Organic, celebrating 45 years. And we'll go to Portland and Robert. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you. I just want to make a few comments. I'm former executive vice president for Whole Foods Market and former CEO for Daily Table in Boston, and been in the business, going on 40 years. And I've seen so many great products come and go. Some have been wildly successful, others that have failed, even though they're great products. I think just, you know, one piece of advice is take it slow, be incremental in your growth and be thoughtful about your growth. Don't put all your eggs into one basket. I know a lot of folks say, hey, if I can get into, you know, such and such a retailer, I've got it made. And they don't necessarily understand all the additional expenses that come with that, promos, marketing, and all the things that are demanded of CPG companies now, be able to stay on the shelves. And so just a word of caution, take it slow. Don't get enticed by private equity money or VC money that, you know, allows you to grow very, very quickly. So often it's kind of, you know, pie in the sky, and pretty soon you're way over your skis and in a position where you're just not able to sustain your business.
Robert, thank you so much for that advice. And Andrea is grinning as you say that. Andrea, you want to add to that?
Well, this is great advice, right? I'm doing business growth incrementally, thoughtfully, with the right priorities in place. What we do find in the next program Focus Maine would like to help stand up is finding access to more financial, to low interest loans with a slow payback period. So these small, slow-growing companies can get the finances they need to get to the next step, but not get overburdened by a venture capitalist who wants a quick return or high return, not dilute their equity. We used to have an organization in Maine called Slow Money Maine, and that's a type of investment that Slow Money Maine provided to companies, and that's no longer around, and we're feeling it. We're feeling the loss of that. So we are at Focus Maine trying to figure out how do we help create that type of program. I know the department is trying to do one through some legislation. It's maybe going to take a little while to get it up and going. And I'll be talking to Nancy about how we can maybe get something going sooner that maybe blends into what she's trying to stand up at the state so that we can address that gap.
Robert, thanks for your call. We'll go to this email from Bob. The quality of foods is of the utmost importance. The country is not doing well health-wise because of highly processed foods using seed oils and sugar. What are Maine companies doing to provide really healthy food for people? We're tight on time, but Nancy, I'm guessing you're going to say pretty much everybody is providing healthy foods.
Yeah, I think we are. And I want to also underscore that Maine is a special place agriculturally, right? I mentioned earlier that we do a lot of diversified things. We don't have monoculture per se. We're not growing, you know, oodles of a particular grain or a what have you. So I think that then allows these food entrepreneurs to say, I'm going to utilize maple syrup, or I'm going to use wild blueberries, and I'm going to be looking at alternatives to sugar or highly processed corn syrup. So we're looking in our own backyards, and fortunately, because of the diversity of our crops and our production practices, we can deliver in many of those places.
All right. Well, we're trying to squeeze in one call. David, can you talk quickly?
Yes, I'll say very quickly, I'm a senior here in Maine, traveled the world, I love to eat. So as many of these foods as you can get into restaurants and have them trained in places like Kennebec Valley Community College Culinary Program. And the other side is we all have freezers and generators. So we're all sitting here waiting for the foods we can load into our freezer, pre-made meals.
Uh-huh.
Love your show. Thank you.
So there we go. We've got ideas, and we have our guests nodding to your idea. David, thank you so much for calling in. You will be our last call today, and I want to thank our guest, Andrea Chinquette, maker, president, co-chair, and co-founder of Focus Maine, Nancy McBrady, deputy commissioner of the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry, and Naomi Neville, manager of the Food Accelerator Program at the Maine Center for Entrepreneurs. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. You can find our past shows and sign up for Maine Calling's weekly newsletter, which is free and comes out every Friday afternoon at mainecalling.org. Tomorrow on the program, it is Public Radio Music Day, and we are going to talk with some of my Maine Public colleagues, some of our wonderful music hosts, about how music connects us. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.